Hey Derek.
Hey, Trey.
Hot damn, man. It's beautiful morning. We're sitting on the pool deck. The weather's beautiful. The sky is clear. And we had racing this weekend.
Yeah, good racing.
We had racing coast to coast. We had Seattle Supercross and we had the Tampa MXI 4 Series going on. So we got cover both of them. This is episode 48 of the Beyond the Curve, the MX podcast. That is Derek Schaefer. I am Trey Heath, and we're going to dive into what was an exciting round, some created by the riders, some created by the weather, and just, you know what? It wasn't a triple crown, and it was exciting.
Yeah, it was much better than last weekend.
And I don't know, I'm going to use Ricky Carmichael's words. Congratulations to the SMX track crew, which, what happened to the Dirtworks crew? But it's the SMX track crew. Did an amazing job again.
We'll have to dig into that a little bit.
No pun intended. Into the track and making that track look so good. So Derek's over here playing the instrument.
I don't know why I keep doing this.
But man, anything exciting that just before we get started on the rundown, anything exciting about the race that you saw, the crowd? By the way, I think the Pacific Northwest loves Levi Kitchen.
Oh, that's his home state. So
Good Lord.
that place erupted for him right off the bat.
I know that stadium is built to be loud, kind of like Kansas City Chiefs Stadium is built
Yeah.
to be loud. But when you can hear it over the TV,
Oh,
it's loud.
it was loud, and you couldn't hear any bikes.
No,
It was just all screaming.
So, awesome crowd. I'm glad for them. It was a dry race. That was dry for those guys.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to get pretty sloppy. Had it rained a little bit more,
Yeah.
it would have ruined the night, but that I think the track turned out phenomenal.
They were jumping all the jumps.
Yeah, better than Daytona. I mean, Daytona, we had half the rain that they got
Yeah.
there, and the ruts were way deeper in Daytona. So,
Well, kudos to that SMX track crew because
yeah,
they're doing an amazing
it
job.
turned out well. Like, it was a very raceable track, actually pretty prime conditions.
Well, it's early in the morning, so my eyes, it's kind of like early in the morning and late at night. So I'm donning the glasses so I can see my own handwriting. But let's dive in. Levi did a perfect job. He was not the top qualifier, so he was in the first heat, getting the crowd right off the bat. And boom, Levi Kitchen is the 250 Heat One winner. That probably set the tone for the night.
Oh yeah, Levi pulls the whole shot at that,
Yeah.
and the stadium sounds like it's going to collapse right off the bat. I mean, like you said, it kind of set the tone for the entire night because it was awesome. I mean, to hear for fans to erupt like that, you'll hear the riders even talk that that's like the highlight. So
And before we dive too far in, there was a lot of, oh, is this a good move to go to PC versus staying at Star? I think he's proven that he really enjoys some freedom.
yeah, and he's riding it well. Like I think the program at Pro Circuit is working better for him than the start because he wasn't pulling these kind of results. He's always he was very good last year, but something has clicked and it's working with him. Surprisingly, a thing I learned about Levi Kitchen is this is his parents made him go to school. And they told him that this was not really much of an option. They did not see him
Really?
at this, and he needed to go to school. He needed to have a good backup plan, kind of like Slade. And they said, you know, this probably isn't really going to hold up. And look at him now.
Is that one of those, hey, let me prove you wrong?
Yeah, I guess. Like I said, it's working,
Yeah.
and I'm glad to see where he's at now because he's racing phenomenally. Like there is no other words for it.
No. If you look at the results from Heat One, it's really a West-centric, like top five guys, minus the Florida boy, RJ.
Yeah.
He gets a second, but not a close second. It really wasn't that close, was it?
No.
I mean,
9 seconds off.
yeah.
Yeah, that was quite the ride. And then Julien Baumeer, believe it or not, I heard a story about him this week too. He was actually last year just a B rider.
Really?
Yeah, not on the maps anywhere. He went to Loretta's and won only one title, but he won two heats. So two motos he won.
Yeah.
And it kind of put him on the map a little bit. But everybody was still at the point where, you know, he's, you know, he did good at Loretta's, and then here he is now on the map.
Yeah, he is on the map, and he's a perfect rookie because he has these amazing rides, and then he just kind of disappears for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like this weekend, I would say overall, it was a good weekend for a true rookie.
Yeah,
a third in the heat, and they keep touting that he was a world champion jet ski racer, and that he probably loves these wet conditions. Okay, it's kind of like Kickstart Kenny. Like, let's let it go. He was very good on a jet ski. The motocross and jet ski, yeah. Let's let it go. The track was dry-ish. So they're like, I bet you he would love it if it was.
That's a whole different realm of riding.
I mean, the stand-up stuff, there were a lot of guys that used to train on those because yeah. It's somewhat similar. But you're talking water versus...
Yeah, grip. True water versus
grip,
a muddy, or yeah, muddy puddles.
Yeah,
I mean, but I don't get where they get some of these.
Ryder D got fourth. I'm gonna say it's transition. He's having good rides, but I feel like, are we seeing? And I say this because I love AC, and by God, his podcast with Chase Sexton at the end of last year, awesome. If you get a chance to go listen to that, Plugged In. Not that I want to give credit to other. You know, to other people, but damn, that was a good podcast. They opened up. Is Ryder D the next AC?
I don't know.
Highly touted.
It's possible. Well, what blew my mind is the 9 laps that they did. Ryder D was the upcoming rider, you know, and Levi pulled 29 seconds on him.
Yeah.
In a heat race. That's crazy.
I know.
I mean, that shows the talent that's coming out of Levi, but Julian was 18 seconds down. I mean, Ryder D should be above Julian Bemare.
I think so, too, but I also don't want to put undue pressure on a kid that has only lived with pressure.
Yeah.
What's it like now to – you're riding for a guy that they literally look for fun.
Yeah.
They had the Ghostbusters theme, the guys in the uniforms. Like, maybe it's a – totally different change of pace and I don't know, but I want to give the kid a chance. I mean, AC's still going. So if there's a will, there's a way, and he's still talented. It's just maybe it's the hype was more than what
that,
we thought.
That mosquito's gonna tear mosquito. You up. Where no, is he's I think like you said, they're having fun now. Pro Circuit is kind of like a very harsh team.
Yeah.
And he's rode Cowies his whole life, so he's kind of making that switch now. It's not like he's doing bad.
No.
At that's, all. Like,
that's the thing. I don't want to say that. It's just
he's still in a rookie year. I mean, he's essentially.
Yeah.
So he's doing extremely well. He's having fun. So like you said, that's probably all that matters. I'm loving the Ghostbusters stuff.
That's cool.
I love the whole pit outfit idea. Like it is cool.
I think it's hilarious too that Chase Sexton had to come up on the podium to get the Ghostbusters Whole Shot Award, and then they're interviewing him and stuff. It's like, it's just funny to me. Like, there's this thing attached to this race now, and it's the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and like what last year they did. It's cool that these movie productions are getting kind of involved because we had Spider-Man last year.
Yeah.
And this year it's kind of Ghostbusters has kind of taken over, but. It's still cool. It's cool to bring other industries into it.
And somehow they're getting Troy Lee on a TV. Troy Lee's like the Invisible Man, and he did an interview.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
pretty cool. Yeah, that was awesome. And they actually showed, like, his little workshop there and doing some helmets. And
yeah, his creativity is oof.
Yeah, that's not something you ever see.
No. And then, got to give credit where credit is due. Anthony Bourdain, the dude he's legit.
Mm-hmm.
He is legit. I mean, he's riding... for a not a subpar team. He's riding for a B team, and he has put in results, and he's still there every week, even after the venture into the 450s on the East Coast. He comes back and gets right back to it, and a top five. The only name that I was going to tout in the 250 Heat 1, Talon Hawkins.
Yeah.
He was a name. Like, he was that name coming up, and it's just not there.
No, I mean, these guys do get just bad seasons. I mean, you have an off year, bike problems. Just you, a lot of these guys don't jive with a bike, and that might be a little bit of Ryder D's issue too. Is all these guys are having issues with this new gas bike. Barcia looks like he's getting the hang of it. I mean, I think they've done quite a bit of testing on it, but
and they're using some of that input for these 250 guys too.
And so, on top of that, you know, Ryder's coming off of. He's coming onto a new machine anyway, so a new machine onto a new machine that's not really performing well. You know, you're fighting a lot of battles, but so he's actually performing pretty well compared to
the cards he's
being dealt.
I like the kid. AC is a legend. I mean, they've made careers, and you just kind of hope that AC is a very strong individual who dealt with a lot of crap because of his promise that really was never delivered upon.
Yeah.
And you'd hate to see a guy like Ryder because he was the next one. He was the next Kawasaki kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh man, like, but now he actually said, I'm going to make that change. And
yeah,
I'm going to,
he's creating his own life at this point.
Yeah. So anything more on heat one?
No, it was pretty straightforward.
All right. Before we get started on heat two, we are not going to jump to the Jordan Smith conversation until we get to the main, but congratulations, Jordan. You look like, okay, cool.
Mm.
We're going to have a dang good night. Joe Shimoda. Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about Joe Shimoda a little bit.
But what about Garrett Marchbanks again?
Yep.
The guy cannot get a start. But boy, the guy, if they did passing points, he would be the national champion.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. He can tear through a pack in a heartbeat. But I don't know. They just can't figure them starts out. He can't.
And then probably, I really want to get your take on this, maybe the most intellectually inquisitive and odd person in the Supercross paddock, Michael Mosman, welcome back.
Yes, that was wild. And
I thought he was gone. And all of a sudden, he signed in with Star.
Yeah, out of nowhere. And then he comes, pulls the fastest qualifier, which...
He was in the B group, so they had a beautiful track.
Yeah, and we didn't... I didn't see it, because I'm like, he should be in Group A. I'm like, Michael Mosman is nowhere to be found, but he has the fastest time. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. Because
we just kind of skipped through it a little bit, getting ready for racing and the whole nine yards, so... but yeah, mind blowing because he was a second faster than everybody else. So, but like you said,
it's amazing what a talented
clean
guy,
track.
It's amazing what a talented guy can do on a clean track.
Yeah, but it's phenomenal to see him back and
rode pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, for the amount of time that he was off, I didn't expect anything. But you know, he shows up on Star out of nowhere and then comes and does that. I mean, I call that a win.
I mean, I kind of, if you think about it, you have Jordan Yamaha, Garrett Yamaha, Michael Mosman Yamaha, Phil Yamaha, Nate Thrasher Yamaha. It was a very Yamaha centric heat too. So
Yamaha is almost taken over
on the
250 side. Yeah. I mean, Star Yamaha is known for their 250 engine. So,
and a lot of privateers are riding them now because they've upped. Rocker River still on Yamahas, and they upped their contingency this year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just getting all the green machines. You're getting the Yamaha as well mixed in. The one I want to touch on, the HBI, our interview, we did not get the bump. He finished 10th in the heat, but he's in there. He's in there. So,
but he was so solid, and he was right there.
Yeah, we're referencing Slade Barola.
Yeah, the entire night he was right there. We'll dig into that a little more too, but congrats to him for coming out and putting in a good ride. I mean, there was really no flaws.
Yeah, it's just, it's tough.
Tough crew.
I mean, when Nate Thrasher's eight, Nate Thrasher's won races.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean,
Nate Thrasher being that far behind was kind of...
Yeah, but isn't he kind of coming back from the...
Yeah.
From the ding-ding he took?
A good one, too. So, I mean, he's trying to battle some stuff, so...
Who was ninth?
Ninth was TJ Albright.
Okay. It's pretty solid to slide right into a main.
Yeah. Yeah. Slade and Albright were only 4 seconds off of each other. And Slade was coming. I think he honestly had the speed till Nate come flying up through the pack.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, like I said, we'll dig into the LCQ here in a little bit.
Yeah, LCQ, my wife, you know, we play this pulp fantasy stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting on the couch. She's like, we're watching the heats. And she's like, I really need Lux Turner. And I'm like, looking at the heat. And I'm like, darling, I don't think you're getting Lux Turner.
No.
And then we go to the LCQ. And I'll be damn, Lux Turner just comes out like, hey, I got this woman in Florida that's really banking on me. And
I need to do it.
And it was actually pretty solid. And the aforementioned Talon Hawkins, okay, he finished second. I just feel like he's more talented than second in the LCQ against, and nothing against Lux Turner.
Yeah.
He's more talented than a Lux Turner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's better than my wife the one night on fantasy picks Dean Wilson when he's got a cracked scapula. She's like, how do you think he's going to do? I'm like, I have a pretty good feeling. He's probably going to flip the buttons on the remote pretty well. She's like, what are you talking about? Oh my God, he's hurt. I'm like, we literally walked out with him in Daytona on the back of the buggy. I was talking to him as we were walking out of the pits. She's like, oh my God. So needless to say, she didn't get that one.
Yeah. Josh Voorhees does third in the LCQ. He's kind of that guy. He's there. He's there. He's not there. He's had his moments of glory. He's a good solid rider. For him to make it into the main, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matty Jorgensen, is he Dutch? Norwegian? He's where is he? Where's Matty from?
Says his hometown's Florida.
Yeah, Matty's not Floridian.
No, he's not.
He's not Floridian.
That's maybe he doesn't want to be associated with
whatever he's from. That race being on the West Coast, the far, far West Coast,
mm-hmm.
and him being from far, far Europe over in the Nordic side. Jason Thomas made mention that the TVs were probably wide open and being watched because this kid. So it's pretty cool that this little sport is drawing interest because there are riders from those countries.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we're going to touch on in the heat race because the television crew also got excited about the countries.
Yeah.
So, but we got to touch on Slade. He was there. He wasn't there. He finished sixth.
Yeah, it was close.
There were some good battles.
He had a really good, a solid LCQ ride.
Yeah.
But everybody else was very solid too. So that was the issue this weekend. You know, somewhat sloppy conditions. At that point, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was very, very raceable.
Yeah.
Nice looking track, but probably still a little slick here and there. So for some of these guys, it's a little more difficult compared to some of the harder packed Supercross tracks, but. Like I said, he was right there. I truthfully see him doing a few more mains this year. I'm anxious to see some of these guys ride the shootout. I think that's going to be pretty interesting. But is St. Louis east or west this year?
It's a west. It's the east.
That's what I thought.
The most east-west round.
Yeah. So we'll get to see him again next week. You'll get to chat with him.
Yeah.
We got kids, so Easter takes priorities. But I think coming back, he's probably – I think we'll see a little bit more out of him this coming week.
And I think I know all these guys want to make the mains. But one, the cool thing is, guess what? You made the night show, so you got paid. That's one. Two, you weren't so far out that it's not reachable. You were 10th in the heat. You're sixth in the LCQ. You're right there. When we highlight the 450 LCQ,
mm-hmm.
that battle to get in, there were four guys battling or three or four guys battling for that last spot. So if you're in that position, that's the first step is, hey, I can get there. And if you're in that sixth, seventh, eighth, fifth position, you've now realized, oh, I can get there.
Yeah. And like he said, he doesn't get to ride Supercross a lot.
Yeah.
Just being so far away from the tracks, and it's very expensive. I know people probably think that you can just go, you know, these guys get an abundance amount of Supercross tracks that they get to ride all the time and train constantly, but they don't.
Yeah.
Like this, it's very difficult. You're talking about $100 a ride every time that they jump on a Supercross track. That stuff's not paid for.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get where he's at, I think, is very good compared to some of these other guys, because it's hard to get that experience if you're not riding it all the time.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But no, overall, it was good racing. I really enjoyed the racing that occurred in heats 1, 2 in the LCQ. There was good racing.
Yeah.
Do we jump straight to the main now?
Yeah, that's fine. I'd go back to the 450s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has it ever happened where two brothers have won heat races?
I can't imagine.
I mean, the only it would be Jeremy and oh, good Lord. I forgot his – what was Jeremy Martin and
– if anything, Josh and Justin Hill maybe.
Yeah.
But
– Alex and just – Alex
and
– Jeremy.
Yeah, but
– I don't remember it being a thing.
Probably not.
But we had it this weekend.
They're breaking a lot of records. Or yeah. Starting new records or whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, Hunter, honestly, you kind of expect it, but you don't. And the way he's been riding this year, it's not even. You don't really put him in that spot.
But a good start will do a lot of things.
Yeah, especially on a track like that. Starts are key this year. I mean, they're key every year, but this year especially, starts are just about everything. Unless you get the generational talents that can come up through the pack, but
we had the wild man Eli for a bit in the mm-hmm. heat. I thought he was coming, and he closed it down, but
yeah,
it was like, okay, I'm good. Like we're getting these spurts of the Eli. He blew by Sexton, and it's like, oh, he's gonna get Hunter, yeah, no problem. But congratulations to Hunter. Like, as Hunter said, it's a heat, but dude, winning is winning. Like
you still that brings the what's the word I'm looking for? God, it's too early in the morning.
The fire,
for this.
The I can win.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, think about who he beat.
Confidence, good
he beat
Lord.
Eli, Chase, and Justin.
Yeah, that confidence boost is extremely important for him, especially because he's coming off an injury. You know, his family is literally the talk.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I am confident that I could not have told you the word you were looking for.
Oh, good Lord.
So.
It's just, we got to not do this in the morning. All right, I like it better in the morning.
So, Hunter wins. Good job. Awesome. Congratulations. Eli was coming, and I'm like, okay, Eli's on it tonight. He's gonna, mm-hmm. But his starts are just, bleh.
No, sucked. They're not good. They're not Tomac at all.
And then Chase Sexton, round one of the bike.
Yeah. That thing.
He told us that he hit his back brake installed.
And he said that the brake was bent.
Yeah.
And it was causing drag on the bike.
Well, they would have fixed that between the heat and the main.
Yeah. But the brake isn't going to cause that bike to not start.
Yeah.
And he cranked and cranked and cranked. So obviously Red Bull KTM is not going, I'm sure Chase is not allowed to say anything bad about the bike.
Yeah.
There was definitely something going on, a valve out of adjustment or something, because that bike, the second it shut down, it wasn't starting back up.
And luckily he had a button, because we're about to talk about someone who didn't have
yes.
a button.
Yes. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was definitely some underlying issues on that bike that they didn't want to discuss.
No. But the amazing thing is, for as long as he was paused, he still finished third.
Yes. By a marginal gap.
Yes. Because Bam Bam looked spicy again.
Yeah, he did. He looked good, but he's still 22 seconds down.
Yeah.
You know, that's 18 seconds that Sexton had a gap on him. So luckily the bike started again, but he still had plenty of time to make it happen.
In a heat race.
In a heat race.
That's the part that I think you and I are most baffled by, is the gaps that are being put on in heat races.
It's wild.
And Adam, AC, good. You know, I'm just happy he's out there racing and he's doing what he can do. The farewell tour, you know, make the mains, get as high as you can. Like, he actually got a good start in the main,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not sustainable. But in the heat, hey, you know, he gets a fifth. And then how about Oldenburg saying, I'm done riding a 250? And
yeah, it's 450 time.
And
looks good.
He looked good on it.
Yeah.
He looked really good on it.
Absolutely. And then we might as well just get into it. Kenny pulls the Sexton, maybe.
Yeah, I don't. I really thought maybe
he just cross rutted. I
Tomac
mean,
came together, but he just hit a rut wrong.
Yeah, he cross rutted,
and that was a nasty looking rut.
It sent him for a good old 360, almost a 360. But here's where the kickstart comes into play, because
those bikes are so spiced.
Yeah, he struggled to get that thing running. Then he struggled to find neutral because they are not meant to hit neutral.
Yeah.
So it ruined his night. I mean, there was no coming back from that. Not his night, but it ruined the heat race for sure. It's hard to kick those bikes anymore. Like, now that you got that nice little button to push,
yeah,
kicking bikes sucks. I still have one, and it's not fun.
Well, it's crazy because he kicked and kicked and kicked, and I thought, okay, well, it's Kenny. He's gonna come back.
Yeah.
And he didn't come back. He just got mired and just, like, it was over.
Yeah, there was no fight left in. And I think it might have been smart, too. Like, you know you're going to the LCQ. Why fight? Don't burn all your energy. Because the LCQ is coming up quick.
Yeah.
So.
And Ty Masterpool was 11th. And I thought, oh, come on, Ty. Like, I want him to prove that he can succeed in Supercar. I don't expect him to finish top 10. And,
yeah.
But I just want him. Maybe it's because we follow the HBI guys. Maybe it's because he had such a damn good motocross season. You kind of want to prove, like, hey, maybe I'm not a top 10 guy, but I can be proficient in Supercross. Yeah. And he goes out and gets 11th in the heat, and you're like, all right, well, it is what it is. But we're going to talk about him because he sustained a lot of pressure at one point. Yeah. Anything else besides poor kickstart Kenny having to kickstart and actually proving that it's a little tougher than it may be?
No, and the KTM problems, but
yeah,
you know, they just add up from here. So
yeah,
but yeah, heat two.
Okay, hold on, heat two.
All right,
AP's got the lead. We're this is exciting. There's a side by side battle as the two guys are. Let's go to the crowd and check out what's going on. There's people waving Australian flags, and then we come back, and, Jet's leading. I watch every form of motorsport in the world. I don't understand how Supercross, who has a very good crew, what other motorsport, when there is a battle going on, they did it twice this weekend. There were battles going on, and they're like, and they went to, why would you pull away from the action that's happening on the track?
Yeah, there was we seen Jet make the pass.
They replayed it. Oh,
they might have replayed it. But it was a typical Jet pass, just
hauling,
and he passed them both at the same time.
They were side by side, and it's like, okay. There's guys waving Australian flags in the crowd, and I'm like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
We're trying to watch
it. We don't want to watch the race.
I want to watch them race. And it's just, I don't understand. Like, the same crew, NBC does NASCAR, they do IndyCar, they do, you name the racing series, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I watch those series. They don't pull away from the action while they're showing those series. Guys, we want to watch the racing.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to see.
I also don't care that Roczen is looking for his gate pick while the race is going on.
Yeah.
I don't care.
We can see what gate he's on when he's lined up.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Like, give us the racing, what we're here to watch.
But it just baffles me. And Jet goes and does Jet things. AP looked pretty good, but that gum, man, Jet just left him. And then AP's, the rest of the race was good. AP, Justin Cooper, is he quietly having just a nice, good year? Just being the third rider on Star?
I mean, I'd say yes. He's performing. He's taking a lot of top qualifying spots. The races probably show something a little different, but he's still there. He's another quiet web guy.
He's not as because even if he's starting up front, he's not staying there, which has kind of been his thing.
No,
but he's just a quiet doing his. He's doing what they call yeoman's work. Like, he's just doing it.
Yeah, and he's not overly spoken at all.
No.
when it comes to anything, interviews. I mean, they're always very quick, short, to the point. But he's there.
Yeah.
He's there every week. So
putting himself in position.
And so I think the 450 is working much better for him. He was good on a 250, but a lot of the guys don't go from 250 to 450 and still maintain results like he does. So he's quiet, but he's, like I said, he's there. And I don't see that changing. Not this year, anyway.
And then Cooper Webb finished third. I really did like the high-vis gear that they had him
his
in.
His hazmat suit. That's what it always looks like.
But it looked good. He finished third. Malcolm fourth. The aforementioned Justin Cooper. Malcolm may have had one of the quietest nights. Like, they didn't really talk about him in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really see him in the main, except when they came to lap him. He was 11th.
Yeah.
And they lapped up to 11th. I mean,
yeah,
maybe even higher. I can't remember if they got Jason.
There's a lot of that this year.
But that was crazy. But I wanted to shout out Benny Bloss. He's just now become a straight into the main
guy.
And let's talk about his teammate a little bit who did not qualify out of the heat. And we'll touch on him in the LCQ. But anything else that was noteworthy for you in Heat 2?
No, not really. I mean, it was a pretty straightforward heat. There wasn't besides the pass that we didn't get to watch live.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty straightforward and to the point. Kind of what we expected in a way.
I kind of got nervous when I saw Jet just kind of cruise on through, and I'm like, oh man, this track, if he doesn't bite himself, this track's gonna.
Yeah.
It suits him because he can play on it. I feel like if he can play, he's gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
And this was a track that they were all trying to jump that sand roller, which was there for a bit and then
bounce
went away.
Over it. Yeah.
And like he just, there was just lines. He almost got and we'll touch on that in the main. He got a little too creative,
mm-hmm.
but he was still coming. So let's dive into the LCQ. LCQ, we got to really thoroughly watch Roczen pick his lines while the 250 LCQ was going on because we didn't want to watch that race. We'd rather watch the 450 guy picking his line in the LCQ,
mm-hmm.
His gate. And then he just, from the outside.
As he should. I mean.
Gets the whole shot and goes bye-bye.
Yeah, as he should.
Yes. And luckily for him, it was not even he just did his thing.
Yeah.
But we need to talk through second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Because there became a battle.
Yeah, because they were all within a second of each other.
And the person who wasn't involved was actually involved the whole time. Ty Masterpool besides Roczen, he actually kind of had Roczen nosed out in the first corner.
Yeah.
And then Roczen just shut it off and took off. But Ty was in second.
Yeah.
And stayed in second.
What my concern for Masterpool was who was right behind him. Vince Freese was.
Yes.
That was my only concern. You know, my kids are rooting for Ty. And just because of, you know, the local HBI stuff. And I'm like, that's fine all until Freeze
gets here yeah.
and does something. Because we all know he's got the reputation of taking everybody out. And I figured of all places, the LCQ, he's not going to care.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had his eyes on Roczen, even though there was no reason to do that. But I kind of figured Vince Freeze would have his eyes on Roczen and he would plow everybody over in his way.
Yeah.
But
the funny thing was, Ty was kind of by himself for a bit. And then you had the Vince, Ryan, and Kyle Chisholm battle
mm-hmm.
going on. And boy, they went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Everybody making mistakes. And then all of a sudden, they started closing in on Ty. And this is where I say these guys are so good. Ty had to feel that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
And he
you
just
can
kept
hear that pressure.
Hitting his marks.
Yeah.
Hitting his marks. And he knew what he was good on, and he knew what he was going to struggle in, and he had the gaps. But they were coming. They never got to him. But that battle between Vince, Ryan, and Kyle was a battle.
Yeah. No, that was good LCQ racing. And you don't often see Chisholm go down.
Oh, that was a big hit.
Yeah.
That was a big hit.
He's very thorough. He's been doing this for a long time. You don't often see that, but when you do, it's miserable.
And the poor guy's battling some injuries right now. I have heard that he is kind of on the same dietary thing that trying the same type of thing that Roczen is trying right now, and a lot more natural foods, whole foods, and maybe that's helping him some. But that was a big hit. I hope he's okay because he nose picked himself and was still attached to the bike. I'm like, were his feet stuck under the pegs? Because he was still attached.
Yeah,
it's like he had a clip-ins.
Yeah,
on. So hope he's okay. But yeah, the Vince Ryan tie leading the train battle. But congratulations. That's what an LCQ is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And they all, those top four, Ken, Ty, Vince, and Ryan, make it into the main. What about Colt Nichols, man? He didn't even get into the battle.
No. I mean, he was close. So seventh was literally 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 were 11 seconds, 12, 13, 14, 16, and 17 seconds off of the leaders. So they were all, like I said, within roughly a second of the rider in front of them.
Yeah.
So close battles, but he shouldn't be in the seven spot.
Yeah.
When he came back, he proved that he wasn't an LCQ rider.
No.
You know? So I don't know. Maybe he's battling the bike, or it's hard to say.
Maybe he just got a crappy start and he couldn't do anything with it. I don't know, but Grant Harlan was also kind of a guy that didn't make it in, but it's good to see him back out and kind of getting his feet re-wet.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth in the LCQ. But yeah, I hope Kyle's okay, because that was a nasty, nasty hit to end it.
Yeah.
And but no, good LCQ. Ken gets the victory, which he should. Yep. I mean, like you said, it's those guys, they should just go take care of it.
Yeah, it's a whole nother level. So when you get a couple guys like that end up in an LCQ, if they don't walk away from it, then
there's something else going on.
Or something happened, you know.
So that was the heats and the LCQs. Let's dive into the main, because the Pacific Northwest was at it again.
Yes.
And Levi.
Dominated.
Yeah. I mean, it
absolutely dominated it. There was no competition for him anywhere in that field.
His worst competition was his last lap when he almost tripped up himself.
And that was it.
Yeah.
But he's still, by the end of the race, he's pulling 20 seconds over RJ Hamshack.
Well, RJ had to fight to get to second because he did not have a
– Yes.
He did not start in second.
But still,
yeah,
you know, to get that kind of lead.
Yeah.
He was feeling it for sure. Joe Shimoda, man, that kid – you got to wonder what the team's thinking. Did they make a mistake, or he can't keep that bike on two wheels? But I will say this race, he was able to go down as much as he went down and actually bring it back.
Yeah.
So he was right there. That's not something that we've been able to see out of him. He's just been, typically it's mistake leads into another mistake.
I mean, we
kind of got that.
Yeah, I was shocked that he fell and maintained third, because that was a pretty decent fall to like get up from and still be in third. And I thought, and I couldn't see the gaps. So that was another issue. For some reason, AMA can't get the timing always correct. It's like,
yeah, it bounces all over the place.
I don't understand. I mean, at one point, AP was down a lap in second.
Yep.
Okay.
It doesn't.
But
I don't get it. Like they're constantly having timing and scoring issues, but it happens. Doesn't matter.
For as much crap as we talk on Shimoda, the fact that he was able to come back and finish third.
Yeah.
But what happens if he stays on two wheels?
He should be able to get a win. I mean, if you look at his riding outside of going down, he's fast.
Yeah.
Oh, he's always been fast.
Knifing through. At one point, I watched him like make two or three passes, just like, no thought, just go.
Just minimize the mistakes, and he's a force to be reckoned with. But the mistakes that he makes are just.
Do you wonder too? And obviously, we're playing a poolside psychologist here. He raced for Cowie, but he was on pro circuit, so it's not. Yes, you're racing for the mothership, the Japanese brand Kawasaki. But now all of a sudden you are racing for the Rising Sun. You are racing for Honda. That is Japanese. And you're not racing for a satellite team. You're racing for Honda.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think there's maybe internally a little bit of like, okay, I'm actually a good Japanese rider racing for Honda.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a little bit of added pressure? Oh, and by the way, the last two people who have been on this bike won championships.
Yeah.
Just the culmination of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it could play a factor in it, but like I said, he should be up there anyway. I think the mistakes are just, they're stupid little mistakes that always lead him to go down. So it's fighting some kind of mindset or something's going on with him that he just, I mean, it could be bike because a lot of the get-offs kind of look like a Sexton last year on the same, not the same bike, but the same bike, you know?
And we're really diving deep to critique a podium.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also cost him podiums this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. Hopefully, if he can just put it all together, there's something there for sure.
Yeah, he's fast. He has speed, and it is kind of a shame. I don't know if anybody was touching Levi this weekend, but because of the carnage behind him, that's where his lead came from. Because we're going to touch on that carnage a little bit because there was Jordan Smith, and we're going to touch on him because he was a little touched. But no, Garrett Marchbanks, again, the passing points.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden he's in fourth. Like,
yep.
He wasn't around, and he's in fourth. And where did he start? Do you have that?
Uh-uh.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, Garrett Marchbanks, Carson Mumford.
Yes. Michael Mosman pulling a sixth, Julian Beaumaire.
But I think that's good. That's a true rookie seventh. That's fine. With the names in front of you, that's good.
Yeah, you're riding well.
Yeah.
But then we get like Ryder D down in 13th, who actually cut the track. So he was docked two positions at the end of the race.
Where did he cut?
I can't remember the exact spot on the track, but if I remember right, he tipped over and then cut.
Oh.
So they have been hard on that this year.
So he was 11th, but got docked to 13th?
Yeah, unless these are provisional results, so he might actually end up 15th.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so and that Jordan Smith, I mean, that's the main talk of the
He smashed his face.
Hard.
Very hard.
Yeah.
Never lost consciousness because he was alert when he was on the ground.
Yeah.
But he smashed his face.
Yeah, and that usually puts you in a state of dazed and confused.
Yes.
Been there, done that. You might get back on the bike, but typically you're going to go back down again.
He got back on the bike.
Exactly.
And he looked like he didn't look right, but he was going fast.
Yeah, he was very ragdoll-like on the bike.
Yes.
Just kind of holding on.
Yes.
So the bike was riding him. And obviously it led to
another
exactly what I said. Usually you get on after something like that, you get back off. I definitely think that there was a lot of dazed and confused there that led to the next series of events that kept him from staying on the bike. And then he tried to pick up the bike and fell back down.
Yeah.
So you're trying to salvage points, but there's also a time when you should be like, this probably isn't a good idea.
Okay, question. There was talk on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, during the main, that there was like, hey, should we be throwing a black flag at this point? Like, should AMA, Feld, whoever, Star say, dude.
Yeah, it's time to get off.
We're done.
I mean, black flag, you almost can't disqualify him for... Not, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. You know what I mean? So you got to be careful how you throw a black flag because you're going to disqualify him from a race for speculation. I mean, you don't know what's going on, but as the team, you could be like, it's time to pull off. But that's going to be like a pit board or something like that.
I've seen nothing more about it or on it. So I don't know if it's one of those we're not going to know what happened to the KTM. We're not going to know what happened to Jordan Smith. I mean, he can say, oh, when I tried to pick up my bike the second time, I slipped.
And, yeah, you know, track was slippy. I fell over. And you'll get a lot of – it's a racer mentality. I mean, you do what you got to do to finish the race.
The only issue I have is at that moment, he's now not endangering just himself. He's endangering other riders.
No, I agree. But like I said, I don't agree with throwing a black flag because that obviously it dives deeper than medical issues.
We're not doing concussion testing while the race is going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So you can't really disqualify somebody from a race for like I said, speculation.
Right.
You have no idea what's going on. So,
but he was having a good ride until he wasn't having a good ride.
And as a racer, you're not going to pull off unless you're forced or you're severely injured. You know, I finished races with broken collarbones and everything else. You do what you got to do. You deal with the repercussions later.
And I think if you just watch the video of the first crash, unless you really are honed in on face to pad,
mm-hmm.
you don't even notice because it was so fast. But the velocity of how quick and the quickness of that, the smash recoil, there could be whiplash. There could be concussion.
Well, there's a lot because let's step back to Bowen, my boy, on a PW50 who blacked both of his eyes, ripped his lip wide open, cut his eye, and then split his chin open.
Yeah.
All from hitting the bars on a PW.
Yeah.
So take these guys that are going 20 times as fast and hit the bar. You know, those guys usually don't walk out of that without a concussion or something, you know.
Be interesting to see if we see him in St. Louis.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell. But there was a couple other riders that hit the bar. They didn't show it on live coverage or anything, but there was a couple videos that I've seen, TikTok. I don't know if it was the races or practice or what, but they chinned it.
Really?
A couple different ones. And I don't know who the riders were, but that the one that I seen, the big one that I seen, he hit his chin on the pad, and you could tell it pretty much knocked him out because he was still holding onto the bike, but his whole body was limp, and then he just fell over. The bike tumbled, but he just fell over onto a tough block, and he just laid there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that tells you the force that's coming down.
But hopefully he's okay. That was one of those... That is one of those scenarios that there's not really a rule for. And I'm almost in agreement with you. You've kind of talked me into you can't really throw the black flag because we don't know. Because what happens if he did slip? But that I feel like at that point, maybe there's some responsibility to the team. Hey, man, make a pit stop. Let's check on you. Yeah. And then we'll decide. If you're already far enough back.
Yeah, you're not coming back. So, yeah. I mean, there is always the throw it on the pit board, pull in.
Yeah.
Or something like that, and just you can look at their eyes and tell, or make sure that there's no facial damage or anything like that. But yeah, it's a very fine gray line.
Yeah, it is very, very, very tough. Anthony Bourdain, before we exit the 250s, this guy's amazing. He finishes eighth again, like in the 250 class. Like, I truly believe this guy believes, and I don't think he's going to go back home. I think he's going to end up staying probably because he's proving that he can ride.
Yeah. I seen a headline, Jorge Prado to Kawasaki for 2025.
I saw that too, but was that on?
I don't remember what it was on.
Was that a Cooksey thing or was no Direct Motocross? One of those, because, you know, Cooksey always throws out.
Yeah, stuff like that.
He said that Cooper Webb is bullying Jet.
Yeah.
I believe that Jet just ran into Cooper, so I don't really think like.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of BS headlines, but anxious to see if that one's a true one.
Well, it would make sense because there's potentially going to be two openings. I mean, there are potentially going to be two openings. So
yeah, that could already be filled.
Yeah. So I am curious.
But you know he's coming back regardless. Oh. Like he had a blast. So
I just can't believe Red Bull would let him go.
You
forget.
Can't.
Forget Gas and
to Monster of all things, you know. I don't know, but if If the money's there, the money's there.
Because he can't keep Red Bull and ride for Kawasaki.
No, like, it's not, good Lord, that's... No.
You can only do that with Honda and Suzuki, and like you can't do that with...
Not with the top two like that. No, it's not going to happen, but I'm anxious to see what does happen because, like I said, you know he's coming back regardless, but there also is the Barcia thing that he's the main rider, so they might have had a loophole where he could ride the 5-6 rounds or whatever, and you know then it's back to the contract.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And you know we don't know what's going to happen with Bam Bam. Like you said, he had a 2-year contract, but I think maybe he's just trying to get his stuff in order so that he can, when it's time to exit, he's clean and clear.
I don't think he's going anywhere yet.
He seems happy.
Yeah, and like I said, he's doing a lot of training in Cali, so maybe just wants to have the cash pile up from so that.
Maybe he can buy something over in Europe.
That could be it, what's going on right now.
Yeah,
sell one, buy overseas.
Yeah, but 250s, good night of racing, enjoyable. Congratulations, Levi Kitchen, man. You earned you've earned the right to say, hey, my switch was okay, and he's got a points lead. So we will see them again in St. Louis, which I'm sure most of these guys, if they have done any geography, are like, how in the hell is St. Louis a West round? But
they don't care. They're jumping on a plane, half of them.
Yeah. And the others are making a long haul.
Yeah, all over the country.
From Seattle to St. Louis is not a short drive.
God, you feel bad for some of these privateers.
And you wonder how many of them are going to make that drive. I wonder what the size of the 250 class will be this week.
Yeah, usually we get depleted in like Detroit, and for the East, and you wonder if this is going to be the depleted field for the West. So we'll see. But Detroit was not like that this year.
No,
they're all just gung ho, and there's all kinds of money floating around somewhere because it ain't here. So,
450s. We watched Jet dominate his heat. We watched Hunter have a good heat race. We know what happened to Kenny. Okay, Eli looked like Eli again. We're not sure what's going to happen with Chase's bike. Who do we skip? Oh, Cooper Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Webb was not the fastest. No. Cooper Webb was the most tactical.
Yes.
And Cooper Webb wins.
Which is a Cooper Webb thing.
Yeah.
So, Jet was not patient at all.
No, and he admitted it.
Jet was by far the fastest guy out there.
Yes.
By... 2 seconds. Wow. 2 seconds faster than everybody. He threw down a 50. And Ken Roczen was next with a 51.993. So
on that track.
Yeah. 50 seconds on that track is wild. But that's Jet. I mean you don't expect anything less from him. But had he just been a touch more patient, through that sand and the race would have been over.
I do appreciate the fact. I hate that he fell. I do appreciate the fact I have a lot more respect. That's an Eli Tomac. That's a Cooper Webb. That's a Chase Sexton. He could have punted him.
Oh, he said in the interview, he's like, I was trying to be nice. He's like, I was hitting him regardless.
Yeah.
There was no slowing down, but I tried to be as nice as I could about it and just tap him.
Yeah. And honestly, that's respectful because you see the true champions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say this badly because he already takes enough. Had Vince Freeze done the same move,
he would have T-boned him. Mm-hmm.
And I just think of that championship mentality. Jet's like, oh, I got in here hot. I made a mistake.
Yeah. And you could see him trying to slow that thing down. Yeah. And you're not slowing it down.
No.
It's amazing that he got it slowed down to the point that he did.
Yeah.
Because he come in hot. And to get that bike slowed down when you got that much momentum moving and only hit his back wheel and take himself down.
And I mean, you can tell there was speed because he went for a good ride on the fall. I mean, he hit tough blocks in there in the sand, but you could tell it wasn't just a tip over because the force that he fell with.
Yeah, he got launched. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't extravagant, but there's still enough force to throw him over.
And luckily he slowed down enough in the rule kind of a motorcycling is if you hit my back tire with your front tire, I'm always going to win.
Yeah.
And that's where he hit him.
Yep.
And But yeah, it was one of those, I'm not quite patient enough champions yet to do it. And it cost him. It cost him a for sure win.
Yeah.
A for sure win.
Definitely. Like I said, had he just been a little bit more patient and not come in so hot, he would have had him in the next corner anyway. They were so close. He might have had him over that sand wall jump.
And what did we say? What did we say last week? The only person that's going to beat Jet
is Jet.
Is Jet.
And that's his downfall. Any race that he ball pulls, anything like that, it's all on Jet.
Yeah.
He's unbeatable unless he beats himself. So see what happens this weekend.
But we did have a good main.
Yeah. No, it was good racing.
Between Cooper and Chase,
mm-hmm.
those guys put on a tactical performance of cat and mouse.
Yeah. With Sexton losing his bike again.
Twice. At one point, he lost it, and it was like he fired it right back up in a section. It wasn't in a turn. It was in a section. And then whoops or something. It looked like it just kind of flamed out.
Yeah. It's just they kept saying that he stalled. He stalled. He didn't stall. That thing is shutting off.
Yeah, something happened.
There's underlying motor problems that bike is shutting off. It's like he goes to accelerate and it dies.
But to keep his cool.
Yeah, and still end up where he was. Come right back to Cooper every time.
Yeah.
You can't.
He was faster than Cooper.
Yes.
He was faster than Cooper, but Cooper is just. How about he was coming and he was going to take that outside line and Cooper all of a sudden take the outside line into the sand.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dang, like that's just Cooper is so good at riding behind him.
And he thinks so methodically.
Yeah.
It's like he plans his laps out three laps ahead of time when you don't even know what the track's going to look like.
Yeah.
And it works every time. He's so technical. I don't know how many times we can say it. It's just Cooper Webb is the most mental guy out there. He's going to get in their heads. He's going to do things that you wouldn't expect him to do, and he's going to pull it out of his ass every time.
It was a fun battle for only two guys battling up front, because I think even Jet said, like, at some point, because he bobbled again, and he's like, you know what, let's just pull the pin. And
but AP was coming for Jet. Yeah. I mean, there almost was a battle, a couple more laps, and there would have been a battle there, but
would Jet have turned it back up?
I think the mindset would have shifted again, and then he wasn't walking away without a podium unless he pulled a Jet and took care of himself.
But overall, I mean, and what's funny is on the podium, he actually didn't look too displeased. I mean, he lost some points, but
he knew what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you know you screwed up, and to admit your guilt right there.
You still got a podium.
Yeah.
I mean,
salvage your points. The gap shrunk a little bit. I mean, you could have extended it, but he still got a pretty decent gap. So, yeah.
But no, congratulations to Cooper and Chase for putting on a good show. That was fun racing.
Yeah. And across the finish line, half a second apart.
Yeah,
it was a phenomenal race.
And to do it cleanly.
Oh yeah,
that's as a fan who doesn't like crashes. I've watched racing, and you go to races and people get excited when there's crashes. I don't like crashes, man. Pain, these guys risk enough.
Yeah.
And to be clean and race one another and know it's a private battle. Like, I'm sure at some point they realized it was a private battle mm-hmm. between them, and they did well. They did well. But yeah, Chase Jet got a third, AP with a well-earned fourth. By the way, the guy that had to kickstart, start on the outside and the LCQ, start on the outside. He finished fifth.
Yeah. No, he did well. And you expect him to. He kind of his style track, Ruddy. Phenomenal in the ruts.
Is there a track that's not his style track?
At this point, like, he's so well versed on everything.
Yeah.
But good ruddy conditions, and he's usually at the top.
Yeah.
You know, to an extent, top five is the top.
Yeah.
I mean, you're top in the world. So occasionally he'll cross rut himself and that screws him over. But that's really the only thing that stops this guy. He's incredible. Really.
Are we just saying, this pains me. Are we just saying Eli Tomac's a sixth place guy now?
It's crazy to think. Yeah.
Did he just, hey, I had a good heat. And there's a lot of ruts out here. You know, I'm going to make it to St. Louis. Like, I just can't.
Yeah, sit back and drink my coffee. Yeah.
I might go kill a bear this week.
Yeah. I wonder what's going through his head. Probably that, all that stuff.
Or is it just like, I don't know why I can't pull the trigger. Don't know. Is it more of a frustration, or is it more of, hey, this is just where I am right now?
Yeah.
I wonder what he's feeling.
Earn some money, and maybe just thinking about retirement the whole time.
Yeah. But, I mean, sixth place, it's still, we critique, it's still a pretty solid top 10.
Yeah. Definitely.
Hunter, after a heat win, finished in seventh. He's becoming a top 10 guy on a normal basis. Justin Cooper, remember the quiet guy?
Mm-hmm.
Eighth, who beats Justin Barcia. What happened to Jason Anderson? 10th. What happened to him? Because he's been not there this year. He's been up front.
That I don't know.
I didn't see anything, didn't hear anything.
You get a lot of this out of Jason, though. Like, he's explosive at certain parts of the series, but it never seems to be consistent.
Yeah.
So I don't know. With him, it's so hard to tell with him. He can be very outspoken, or he can be very quiet.
But he and Malcolm got 11th, and not a great race, but I don't think those conditions are Malcolm's forte.
No, not really.
But to finish 11th, but he got lapped.
Yeah.
I was shocked when they were coming to lap, and I'm like, did Malcolm fall? And I looked up on the scoring pylon, and he's 11th, and I thought, oh my God, they've lapped up to 11th.
Yeah, which seems to be the normal this year. Like, they take over half of the field.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts to me.
Top guys in the world, and they're still getting a lap.
Yeah. Benny Bloss was 12th. Not a bad ride. I mean, I believe that Beta is starting to find their footing. When you have a guy like Benny, he's finishing top 12, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ty Masterpool got a 17th. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Benny Bloss won me a fly racing stand this week.
Really?
At I4MX. Yep. The trivia question was, who took 12th at Seattle? And, of course, I'm right on that. Almost got a gear back, too, for what place did Cian Cirillo get, but not allowed to win twice.
Would you rather have the stand or the bag?
It's probably the stand. Okay. We have the exact same gear bag. I mean, it's nice to have two. Yeah. Each kid has their own, but I can live with.
Well, they're small enough. You can fit all their gear.
I want a hat. I want a hat too.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah, man. It was a good week for me. They had a trivia question on the I4MX podcast.
Okay.
So I tuned in to listen to the race this weekend, or what's going on at the race this weekend, and trivia question was who has the most wins in Supercross history. I'm right on that one too. I mean, I'm pretty good at this trivia stuff, but yeah, back to the race. It was a good night of racing. Track. We, you know, everybody, we thought we were getting a mutter.
Yeah.
Track turned out pretty well.
They had to jump everything.
Yeah,
to
deep ruts. They're still jumping. Yeah.
If you have to jump everything, I feel like it's a good raceable track.
We still had good racing.
Yeah.
And that, compared to last week, it was a much needed race night.
Yeah. So that is the, was that the 12th round of the Supercross?
Round 11.
Round 11. Okay. So we're 11 rounds deep. We know we kind of are getting a points picture, but we head to St. Louis for another West Coast round. And then let's touch on, it was back-to-back rounds of the I4MX series. It's a rarity in this series, but they went back-to-back. So this weekend was Tampa Motocross. And you took the kids there, and you took your adopted kid there. How did the weekend go?
Weekend was okay. Tampa MX is a fun little track.
Is it the most supercrossy motocross track we have?
Yes, to an extent. I wouldn't call it supercrossy. I mean, more than some of the others, but you know, Dade City's got a supercross feel to it too.
Okay.
Tampa, we've never been there, but I've watched a lot of the videos, talked to a lot of the guys, and it's usually more peaky than what it was, so you think they tamed it down a little bit. There's still some pretty peaky jumps there that boot you, but we, Bowen on the PW and our e-bike, it's kind of a starts day. So starts kind of are what put you in top positions this weekend. And our starts weren't totally there. The PW, we ended up fifth overall, out of a field of like 15. So it wasn't terrible. PW, I think we ended, or the e-bike, I think we ended up eighth, but we did have a get off in Moto 2. He did get a good start. I think he was like fifth in the pack, and then ended up going down.
We got a ghost.
I guess so. Ended up going down and put us in that eighth spot. So we'll live to fight another day on that one. Oakley, I think, finished ninth overall, just totally out of his comfort zone for sure.
Yeah.
Very peaky track, and we did a lot of bike work this week to get that bike running tip top. So it was a very fast bike. I don't know that he was quite used to that. So Caleb Groves, we planned on riding my bike, but we had a paddle tire. That track was very hard packed this weekend. No ruts at all. Really? That track had no ruts. So it was just a hard packed, kind of like concrete track. I mean, you could water it, but the sun was beating, so it would just dry it right up.
Yeah.
Caleb raced the, I think, 125 to 250 advanced, and then the extreme open class, which is like their money class. Ended up second in the advanced class, and then third in the open. Winner takes all in the extreme open. But Caleb rode phenomenal for riding a KTM 150 against everybody else. That bike was just screaming. But you get outpowered. Yeah. You're racing guys on 250s and 450s. There's just no competition. But to even be able to hang with some of the guys there was a lot of talent there this weekend. So all in all, it was a good weekend. We got Dade City coming up this weekend for the Easter race. Big Easter egg hunt and intermission. Looking forward to it. It'll be fun. Then we got Easter on Sunday, and then we head to WW Ranch for our Southeast qualifier for Loretto's.
There's a lot of racing. There was multiple series this weekend, and then there's multiple series this week. Florida series kicks off.
Florida series raced WW this weekend, I believe, okay. At WW Ranch.
Okay.
So that was their opener. And then, you know, there's full swing right now.
Yeah.
We got the I-4 running, Florida series, Dade City series. So like you said, there's a lot of racing going on.
Qualifier time.
Definitely qualifier time. And that's the big thing, is there's a qualifier every weekend somewhere in the country right now. So we're looking forward to it, hoping we can get our starts figured out before that qualifier comes. We got 2 weeks to work on it. So we'll get through that. See if we qualify through, and then we got a lot of work to do if we can hit the regionals.
Well, I do remember when I would go to watch WW, I went to a motocross and an MXGP there. I don't know if you can put a paddle on a P-Dub, but it was a very sandy track.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be rough for the PWs, but we run two front MX-34s.
Okay.
So PWs, we run two front tires on the front and the back. So it's they're a little bit different. They just don't have the power to do it. So we got to trying to get our Axiom Performance sponsor build up and running, and it'll be what we try to qualify on. Get that thing running real crisp and hope for the best.
Awesome. Well, if all goes well, I will be sitting in St. Louis Saturday watching Supercross, and we'll have a report hopefully Monday night, because we're coming straight back. We got business to take care of Monday morning, so we're going to scoot on back Sunday and be here. But that'll be round 12, and it is also a triple crown and a futures round. So
yeah.
I'm guessing futures won't do triple crown, though. They'll run their
two motos, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what's out there for the futures. There's been some good racing this year in the triple crown.
They don't even run two motos. They just run the one.
The one, yeah.
The one, just the main event.
So we'll see how it goes, and I guess I will see a triple crown live and in person and see if it changes my opinion, but we'll see. I don't know. I'm not sold on them.
I hope, because they've ruined me for the year.
I'm not sold, but I will have a report of what it's like to watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been episode 48 of Beyond the Curve, the MX podcast. He has been Derek Schaefer. I still am Trey Heath, and we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.